May it please the court. I'm William Zola, representing the appellant Philip Ducato. This appeal stems from defense counsel's failure to present testimony and other available evidence that would have helped support appellant's claim that he had no knowledge about the presence of a handgun in the glove compartment of his father's car, which he had driven to a restaurant immediately prior to his arrest. The government introduced the gun as evidence as to Mr. Ducato's intent and argued that the weapon was a tool of the trade that linked Mr. Ducato to the conspiracy of which he was convicted. The district court also relied on the gun as the basis for imposing a two-level enhancement in sentencing Mr. Ducato. Despite the gun's prejudicial nature and significance to the case, as there was no other reason to introduce the gun but for its prejudicial value, defense counsel inexplicably chose not to present testimony and other relevant evidence that would have provided the jury with an innocent explanation as to why the gun...
Fantastic, though, I must say. Pretty incredible.
Excuse me, sir? As to why the gun was not simply not in the car without his knowledge.
Ridiculous, isn't it? I don't see how a jury would possibly believe the father's testimony.
It was not only his father's testimony, but his brother's testimony.
It's the family. It's like alibi evidence by a family. But this actually strikes me as particularly fantastic. The unknown gun.
Well, there was also evidence of bank records indicating...
What's that got to do with the gun?
The father was prepared to testify that he had that he frequently kept a gun in the glove compartment of his car when he made bank deposits. He's a hotel owner and operator. He actually made a bank deposit four nights before the arrest of Mr. Ducato, Philip Ducato.
He frequently kept it in the...
Yes, he was
prepared. And his son didn't know that.
Correct.
His son never knew that his father frequently kept a loaded gun in the gun compartment of the car. You want a jury to believe that?
I would like the jury to have been able to at least hear the testimony of the father, the brother, and the family friends, which included two police officers. Mr. Ducato's father was also prepared to testify that they were frequently went target shooting, and the fact that Mr. Ducato's father put the gun in the glove compartment without telling Philip Ducato, and the gun remained there at the time that Mr. Ducato was arrested.
I'm not sure how the register or purchased, but apparently his name was connected with the gun, wasn't it?
Correct.
And he bought it
as a present for his father. Therefore, his appellant's name was the registered name for the purchase of the gun.
Yeah, I don't understand registration exactly, but does that just mean it's a receipt?
I believe so. I don't know much about it either.
He's the guy that bought it. Because did Philip Ducato, did he also target shoot?
Yes, he did.
And there's no reason why he couldn't do that. He's not a felon in possession or anything like that.
Not prior to this case, correct.
So now he could have legally possessed a gun for...
Correct, and his father could have legally possessed it as well and did, in fact, do so. Therefore, the issue here is why defense counsel chose to ignore this evidence. He purportedly did so to stay away from the gun, to attack instead the stronger pieces of evidence against the appellant. However, any possible justification for that strategy disappeared.
Weren't there audio tapes of this man's participation in this? Wasn't there overwhelming evidence of his participation?
Well, he was actually acquitted of one count.
No, wasn't there overwhelming evidence?
Well,
isn't that what the court found?
The district court found overwhelming evidence.
And weren't there audio tapes of these people conversing together about this?
Yes, there were.
Wasn't there testimony of the different people, the DEA agents, about his participation?
There was.
From Busateri?
There was significant evidence. However, the gun evidence was extremely prejudicial. and there was no other reason to introduce the gun into evidence other than its prejudicial value. He was not charged with actually using the weapon
No, but it was in the presence of the other of the drugs, wasn't it?
It was in the presence of the. It was in. There was no.
Isn't the law of this circuit that if a gun is readily accessible in the presence of drugs, that it can be considered as being accessible, and it could have been used by the defendant had he wanted to use it?
Well, here, first of all, there's no.
Well, is that the
that
law?
That is the law of the circuit.
Right. Okay.
However, first of all, there's no. There was no connection made between the proximity of the weapon and the drugs. That was not the issue. There was.
We're talking about guns.
Proximity of the gun to Mr. Ducato. However, that is precisely the reason why the issue of who possessed the gun is so critical to this case and why the evidence of
well, not who possessed it, but whether he knew it was in the glove compartment. But now was it the jury or the judge who made a finding that he possessed the gun? Was it just a sentencing matter, or was it part of the?
It was just a sentencing matter.
So the only question is whether it was enough to warrant the judge in finding by a preponderance of the evidence that he knew about the gun.
Correct. How the gun got into the car, whether he knew that the gun was in the car at the time he was arrested. Therefore, there was absolutely no reason to keep that evidence out. There was no basis to keep the evidence out, particularly at sentencing.
Well, you've got to make a distinction between the conviction and sentencing, I think, because in the conviction and the conspiracy and all, that gun was kind of minor.
Well, not really. The gun, defense counsel's strategy purportedly was to stay away from the gun. However, the basis for that strategy evaporated because the gun came into evidence.
Yes, but the evidence of his participation in the drug conspiracy was overwhelming. I thought your complaint was that the sentencing judge should have heard the testimony from the family.
That there's two parts to our argument. We believe the counsel's strategy at both trial and sentencing was ineffective.
Yeah, but the mistake, if it was a mistake at trial, it wasn't prejudicial because the evidence was so strong against your client.
Well, we believe that the gun was particularly prejudicial.
It doesn't matter. He would have been convicted anyway for the reasons that Judge Coffey said about the tapes.
Then as to sentencing, we believe that there was no basis at all to exclude testimony that would have undercut this critical predicate as to possession. Constructive possession requires knowledge, and knowledge in order to have control, as this court has held in a number of cases. The only way that Mr. Ducato could have proven that he did not know or that he did not constructively possess that gun was through evidence that the gun was in the car without his knowledge. Therefore,
and that's why his dad and his brother came in and said that he didn't know?
Well, they actually provided this testimony to defense counsel before trial, and he decided not to use it, as well as the other evidence that they could have used, which would have provided a perfectly reasonable and innocent explanation. Why the gun was in the car.
What evidence was presented on this issue at the sentencing hearing?
None. None whatsoever. The only evidence was that...
Who was the gun registered to?
The gun was registered to the appellant.
To Ducato?
Yes.
Your client?
Yes. It was...
And he didn't know where his gun was?
Correct.
The gun was given as a gift to the jury to believe that. Well, that the defendant himself, with the gun registered to him, didn't know where the gun was and that it was being used by others.
Well, all we would ask is that the jury was entitled to hear that evidence.
Well, not the jury, we're talking about the sentencing.
Right, as to sentencing, yes.
But was the judge made aware of his story? at the sentencing? Did
we do not believe he was. She was. We do not believe she was.
He didn't even know. Well, I don't understand. Are you saying the judge simply did not, not the judge, that your client's lawyer simply did not challenge the gun enhancement at the sentencing hearing?
He challenged the gun enhancement only on the connection issue, only on the proximity.
Not knowledge.
Not on knowledge.
He didn't present the knowledge
He claimed, all he said was that Mr. Ducato did not know that the gun was in the glove compartment, which is what Mr. Ducato testified only during the trial on cross-examination, because defense counsel did not bring it out in direct examination or conduct any recross. It was only on the government's cross-examination
when
this issue even came out.
When did these affidavits turn up?
I'm sorry?
When did these affidavits turn up?
These were submitted as part of the habeas petition.
They weren't submitted to the attorney in advance or to the court?
That's correct, I believe.
You believe, or they were?
I believe they were not. I believe they were submitted as part of the habeas petition, prepared and submitted as part of the habeas petition.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Zola. Mr. Chang?
May it please the court, my name is Edmund Chang. I represent the United States. Your Honor, the defendant's trial counsel's performance at both trial and sentencing fell well within the bounds of reasonable...
Can you talk louder, please?
Certainly. Fell well within the bounds of reasonable performance, and it also, as Judge Manning found, would not have caused any change in the outcome. First, the defendant's counsel, I think wisely, chose to keep the focus off of the gun. Calling the defendant's father and his brother would only allow the defendant, the government, to score more points, and would have enabled the government to argue that...
Well, not at the sentencing hearing, right? There's no jeopardy at the sentencing hearing. So why not... Now, your opponent says that Ducato didn't even challenge, didn't even raise the knowledge point at the sentencing hearing. Is that correct?
No, Your Honor. The defendant's counsel raised the knowledge issue by referring to the trial testimony of the defendant. It's true that the defendant's attorney did not submit the evidence from the defendant's father and and from the brother. But again, as Judge Manning found, he would have suffered no prejudice because it again would have allowed the government to argue to the sentencing judge, in addition to the jury, that the defendant regularly used the Mercedes, that the defendant's father would have admitted that he often, in the defendant's father's own words, often kept the loaded gun in the Mercedes, and that not 4 days before the money was picked up by the defendant in the money pickup meeting, the defendant's father, if you were to even credit his version, had placed the loaded gun in this unlocked glove compartment. And it would have helped the government argue to Judge Manning that's additional evidence that he knew that the gun was in the glove compartment, and therefore the sentencing enhancement would apply. So I think the defendant's counsel both reasonably performed at trial and sentencing, and in addition, the absence of this evidence, even if believed, would not have affected the outcome. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. And thank you, Mr. Zell. Were you appointed?
No.
Thank you anyway.